You're listening to Malice After Midnight. The following podcast contains subject matter that may be disturbing to some listeners. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts and not of the sponsors. Listener discretion is advised. And now, Malice After Midnight with Tina, Steve, and Christine.
Hello, this is Malice After Midnight, and today we're going to be talking about another famous person from Wisconsin, Ed Gein. But first, we have a famous person from Wisconsin here on her birthday, our mom, Lori.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be here.
If you hear a voice you don't quite recognize, that sounds almost exactly like Christine, but just a little bit different. That's who it is. That's Mom. She's going to be here today. Cool. So Tina's got something she'd like to say before we get started.
Hey, I just wanted to mention, give a little shout out to our friends Hillary and Caitlin over at Complicit Podcast. That's at Complicit_pod on Twitter. Complicit follows the mysterious disappearance of 29-year-old Lauren DiMolo from Cape Coral, Florida on June 19th, 2020. Someone knows something. Someone is complicit. And we would just want to say hey to them and thank you for all the support. And they'll be coming on the podcast one day here soon for a little cross event. So we're looking forward to that.
All right. Well, you guys ready to get started?
Yes.
Okay. So this episode, like I said, is going to be about Ed Gein. Ed Gein is one of the most infamous murderers of all time, even though he only took the lives of two women. He's been called the Butcher of Plainfield, the Plainfield Ghoul. From 1947 to 1957, he murdered two women and desecrated at least nine graves. Edward Theodore Gein was born on August 21st, 1906 in La Crosse, Wisconsin, to parents Augusta Wilhelmine and George Philip Gein, and he had one older brother, Henry. Ed never had any children of his own, but he is the father of three of the most famous characters in horror film history: Norman Bates of Psycho, Leatherface of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Hannibal Lecter of Silence of the Lambs. Ed's father...
Said Happy Father's Day. Didn't know if that was appropriate.
Oh, no, that's good.
Totally shut up.
Happy Father's Day.
All right. Ed's father, George, was an alcoholic, and his mother, at the very least, was fanatically religious. She was controlling and domineering, and she thought that all women besides herself were instruments of the devil. Yeah. When she was pregnant with Ed, she was hoping to have a little girl, but when Ed was born, she decided that he was going to be raised in her strict teaching, and he was going to grow up to be a good, God-fearing man.
She kind of missed the point on that one.
Yeah, something didn't quite go right.
Something didn't go away with her, right with her teachings.
Ed's mother had complete control over the family, and in fact, the one time they owned a general store, grocery store type general store, and she was listed as the owner, and Ed's father, George, was listed as a clerk. Eventually, they sold the store and bought a farm in Plainfield, Wisconsin. Augusta wanted to get her boys away from the dangerous city and keep them isolated at home. Ed was very awkward as a child. He had very strange mannerisms, one of which was a creepy, crooked grin, which was often on his face. Anytime he would start to make a friend, his mother would put a stop to it, saying they were bad or came from a bad family.
That's, like, really sad.
Yeah.
Like, that he couldn't have, like, any friends.
No, I mean, she's also raising the weirdo we're going to learn about.
She's just a hater.
Yeah.
What's that movie with Adam Sandler? It's like, where she's like, so-and-so is the devil.
Ben Franklin's the devil.
Yeah. That's what it reminds me of.
Alligators are ornery because they're medulla oblongata. Basically, he was doomed from the start. He would be attracted to women or girls, but he was raised that they were evil. How is he going to be able to have a healthy relationship with a female? Because he's afraid of them.
I feel like he wants to like them, but that he's scared to like them. So, like you said, how could he?
That's the feelings, is to, you know, like girls for him, and he's taught that they're evil and,
everything from mama.
Yeah. Ed's mother would read and teach from the Bible to him and his brother, Henry, daily, usually from the Old Testament. Ed was always trying to please his mother, and from what I've read, I don't think she ever gave her children any praise or was happy with anything they did.
She was a wench.
That's terrible because, you know, you need to, like, praise your children at some point. And why don't people always, when they're, like, teaching from the Bible, choose, like, the Old Testament? I mean, I guess that's just, like, the...
That's where all the...
The bad, you know, like, the rage is.
Or yeah, whatever. Or, like, the, yeah, damnation and all that.
Yeah.
In spite of all this, Ed adored his mother and called her his best friend. He thought she was the perfect example of how a woman should be.
He had no choice.
Yeah, really. I haven't really talked about Ed's father, George, because there really isn't a whole lot to say about him. From what I've read, most things said he was a weak man, not in strength, but in will. He was like a pushover. You know, she just basically ruled over him and controlled everything he did, and she controlled the finances and everything. And like I said, there's not really a whole much about him, but he was an alcoholic, so he died.
And she seems like that type of woman.
Yeah, yeah. I said he was the father of, like, Norman Bates from Psycho. Well, he was controlled by his mother and had this. I mean, that's where they got the relationship in Psycho was for this, you know, between him and his mother. In fact, the guy that wrote the book that the movie was based on, Psycho, he read this story about Ed Gein. That's where he got the idea. I mean, straight from Ed Gein. Ed's father, George, died of a heart attack in 1940, and that's pretty much it for him. He's out of the picture there.
So you said there's nothing, like, not much about him, so there's no... Nothing about probably like his relationship with the kids or anything. He just
not really. Took a back seat, yeah, maybe. I don't think. I think he was. I read something where he might have been somewhat abusive. I think kind of like maybe where when he'd finally have enough, he'd go off the handle.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know if that was with the kids. I know one time he did actually land Augusta a little bit. I think he beat her one time, like slapped her around a little bit. But I'm not, like I said. I mean, the epitaph on his headstone says something about, like, being, like, good father and good husband. You know, I mean, it's a bunch of...
Oh, yeah, just, like, the basic...
Just the basic thing. So they don't really... But there's not much about him, really. He's not the one that's of interest. It's all about Ed. I mean, in this story, I don't think anybody cares about the dad. It's just Ed and the mom.
I don't think the dad had much of a place in his life anyway.
No, I don't seem like that. Well, and the mom basically said men were no good. I mean, they didn't have... Most men were... Controlled by their sin, basically, is how she felt about it, you know. So, pretty hard shoes to try to fill.
She just didn't like anybody.
No, for real.
Except herself. She's like, other than me.
Well, this is something that's kind of... She totally had no use for even the act of sex. Like, that was evil. Okay? It was just for procreation. So, she only did it with George just to have...
Children,
and that was it. That's the only reason you should ever have sex in her mind was for that. That was something I
so
I read also.
When like little kid, you know, like when your kids find out that you, when they finally get old enough, they're finding out you have sex, and they're like, "Well, I know you just had it 2 times." You know, like for them, and like she's gonna actually say,
"Oh,
yes.
When kids are uncomfortable about their parents, yeah. Like, I know they just did it once because I'm born." Yeah,
yeah. So she's like, "No, we really just did it."
Yeah, for real. Ed and Henry worked on the farm and as handymen around town to help with family expenses. They were both described as hardworking men. Ed's brother Henry often showed concern for Ed's attachment to their mother, and he even started to reject their teachings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that kind of brings us to this here, and this is kind of interesting. On May 16th, 1944, Henry, Ed's brother, died in a brush fire. Now, Ed went to the police and said they were burning off brush on their land, and the fire got out of control. And while Ed was trying to get the fire under control, he said he lost sight of his brother and couldn't find him. Here's where it gets interesting.
I doubt that.
Well, just wait.
Well, it can happen, though, with all the smoke and stuff.
Yeah. So when Ed returned with the police, he led them straight to where Henry's body was. So if he didn't know where he was, he's there. So they knew exactly where he was.
And that's not suspicious at all.
Yeah, don't be suspicious.
He didn't even, like, call out and be like, oh. No,
he just, like, led them straight to him. And Henry's body appeared to be untouched by the fire.
And they didn't find that suspicious
at all?
Well,
this is kind of... It's kind of So, like I said, his body was appeared to be untouched by the fire, and it didn't even look like where he was at was even really burned, the spot where he was at. And he did appear to have some wounds on his head.
I was going to say, didn't he have, like, a head wound or something?
Yeah, he did, yeah. And so they were kind of suspicious about it. There was an autopsy... In the autopsy, they said they think he could have had a heart attack from the stress of being lost in a fire and all that was going on and going out of control, and then he probably fell and hit his head.
Did they check his lungs?
I don't know, man. I don't know what a plain field autopsy would be like in the 50s in Wisconsin.
So the coroner
in the
didn't 40s. Know what he was doing, in other words.
Yeah, it's, I wonder. You know,
I have some questions, sir. Was he found on his stomach or his back? Was there a rock near his head?
Yeah, yeah, really.
How big was this head wound?
I don't think it was much, but...
They're like, looks good to me. Case closed.
So anyway, after the autopsy, it was declared an accidental death, and no charges were filed, and everything was just kind of dropped. And they... Everybody in the town kind of had a... Ed was just like a harmless weirdo, basically, to everybody.
They thought of him as a simple person.
Simple, yeah. Yeah, they thought he was... Which, actually, we'll talk about in a little bit. He actually wasn't dumb. He was smart, fairly smart, and he did like to read, and he had some pretty interesting reading material, which we will get into. After Henry's death, Ed lived alone with his mother until December 29th, 1945, when she died after having a couple of strokes. After her first stroke, Ed actually cared for her and nursed her back to health, and she showed absolutely no appreciation.
I was just about to say, did they get close?
I saw you come up to the mic. I knew you were going to ask. I should have waited.
I was like, she's so mean. Like, not even then. She's like, you know, butthole.
Yeah, like when she was going to get up to walk for, like, the first time on her own, he was going to help her, and she basically did, like, the classic, leave me alone, I can do it myself type of thing, just, like, pushed him away.
She never showed him any affection.
No, not really. But if you asked her, he was her favorite person in the world, and if you asked him... She was his favorite person. So they did have a close relationship, but definitely a strange
one. They always love the one that hates you most.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of like the Odd Couple, right?
I
like
don't
they
know.
Secretly were good best friends, but hated every second around each other.
It's reported that Ed cried like a child at his mother's funeral. And I don't mean like sad of a child, like he, like a really high pitched cry, like baby girly. No,
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Like that, and like really high, just they kind of the way it was described, I think if I was there sitting next to somebody who's crying, I'd be embarrassed. Because, like, it was, like childlike. But, like, for, like, a grown man, it was just really strange. And I guess in different times, if anybody would make him cry, he would cry that way. And it's also said he's, like, very soft-spoken, too. Like, really, just, I don't know, really kind of a light, hired voice and everything just when he talked.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's no recording, really, of his
voice. I don't believe
out there,
so. I didn't see nothing. There might be because, well, we'll get to it. I mean, he died in the 80s, so there may be some recording somewhere, but there's nothing I saw on the internet just to play. After his mother died, he confined himself to only a couple of rooms in the house, like the kitchen and his bedroom and like maybe one other room. He boarded all the other rooms up like a shrine to his mother because she kept the house perfect. You know, cleanliness is next to godliness. That was serious for her.
So he left everything in the way.
He boarded up the rooms she used, okay, and they were perfect. But the rest of the house was trash, like garbage, food garbage, a lot of other stuff we're going to talk about.
Bones.
Yeah,
so
we'll
he
get there.
Like, well, boarded he, up so he could keep just that little part clean. He just boarded,
he boarded
up, like,
it up and then everything else. Yeah,
he this obviously didn't trash. Have the same cleanly.
No, no, he definitely lived disgustingly.
He needs to revisit.
Another thing too, the house didn't have electricity, so at night it'd just be like lit by oil lamps, and a lot of people were creeped out by his house.
I was just like, creepy.
Yeah, I read one thing where there was like a kid that would have to walk past his house. And if it was like at night,
he would save up
all his energy for that last like little sprint, so he could run past his house at
night. Nice, yeah.
Well, totally. There's no shadow, like an oil lamp shadow either. Somebody walks by.
Exactly, because there's really no shadow from an oil lamp shadow.
Yeah.
It's nothing but shadow.
Like, yeah.
It's nothing but total darkness.
Ed was definitely a loner and somewhat of an outcast, but he was still part of the community. He often was hired to help people around their farms, and he was even asked to babysit some of the local children.
What? The literal hell?
I know, dude. People were a lot freer to like let their kids do.
Not just because I know what has happened, you know, like that gang, like, not, you know what I mean, but if he's supposed to be this creepy, like, kind of off the...
Yeah, even if somebody's,
you know,
weird,
whatever,
I wouldn't let them babysit,
like,
my
hey,
kids.
Hey, Ed, we need to go out. I'll babysit. Okay.
Well,
see y'all
later. He was... Well liked by a lot of the people.
Yeah, he was just considered strange.
Yeah, he was
just
strange, soft-spoken.
Just soft-spoken Eddie. They call him Eddie.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then.
Tina, times they are different.
I guess it's
right,
because
now.
They can
okay.
sit and like, binge watch the ID channel all the time.
We'll get into some a little bit more into the babysitting a little bit later. He was described as strange, quiet, shy around women, but very strong for his small build. By looking at Ed, you probably wouldn't think he was very smart, but he was intelligent and liked to read. Unfortunately, he liked to read books about grave robbery, headhunting, and Nazi concentration camp experiments.
Whoa.
That's and grave crazy. Robbery, all those. Yeah, he had.
There that's his is kind of story. Your sign.
Yeah, there's your sign.
He's not reading. Like,
let's not babysit little Timmy, okay? Let's just stay home.
Or the New Testament, because he all knew all about the Old Testament. He was reading.
Yeah, he could have read a little bit more, a little bit of New Testament. Maybe that'd have done him some good. In 1947, Ed started to rob local graves of women that resembled his mother. But we'll get into more detail on that a little later.
More with Tina, Steve, and Christine on Malice After Midnight, coming up.
This is Wine, Dine, and Storytime. I'm Nydia.
I'm Dana.
I'm Cindy, and we're your hosts.
Have you ruined a family gathering by asking what wine pairs well with eating a husband?
Are you the CEO of TMI? Have you ever been kicked under the table because you brought up your favorite dinner topic, atrocities throughout history? Then this podcast is perfect for you.
Each week, Dana and I share stories based on topics that include true crime, historical shenanigans, unexplained mysteries, and all things fascinating, while our amateur chef, Cindy, prepares themed dinners and pairs wines based on those topics.
Find us, the Wine, Dine, and Storytime podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, and give us a follow.
So, you're trying to start a podcast, but you don't really know where to begin? I understand. It can be pretty intimidating. So let me tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Yeah, that's what I said. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
And now more of Malice After Midnight with your host, Tina, Steve, and Christine.
All right. Now this leads us up to Ed's first victim, Mary Hogan. Mary Hogan was a 51-year-old local tavern owner, and I read somewhere that she reminded Ed of his mother, except she was the total opposite of her. Where Ed's mom was pious and holier than thou and righteous and just real fun to be around. Mary was wild, loud, and outspoken. It was also rumored that she had ties to the Chicago mob, but I mean, there's really nothing to that. And a lot of times you get some outsider coming into a small town, there's always like crazy rumors. So I don't put anything in that, but I thought I'd just say
it. Yeah, a lot of people use it like that's their first like thing if something's going on. They're like, it got ties to the mob, and it's like,
yeah.
So she was totally nothing. Yeah, but during the 50s, like though.
No, she was the exact opposite. She looked. She reminded him of his mother. By the way, she looked. I believe she was German. I think Ed's family's German background. His mom is anyway. But so she had the look, you know, a little heavier set because Ed's mom was a little big, not like real big, but she was, and I believe she was buxom.
Oh my god!
So
I've never heard that.
Boobies. Anyway, so.
Wow.
Anyway, so it's kind of thought, I mean, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything of Ed saying this himself, but it's kind of thought that kind of angered him in a way, kind of like, how can you be so much like my mom and yet be so much like what she doesn't stand for, kind of a thing. So, anyway.
Because she's not.
Yeah, so on December 8th, 1954, Ed shot her in the head. Put her body in his pickup truck and took her back to his farm. Now, police didn't know really what happened to her. They found a revolver shell casing and a trail of blood leading from the tavern out into the alley. But that's all that ever really happened. And sometime after Mary Hogan disappeared, some of the locals were talking about it and saying they wondered where she went. Ed came out and said, she wasn't missing. She's back at my place. And everyone laughed and just thought it was one of Ed's weird jokes because he, you know, he tried to be funny, but it was always weird. But
he was a weirdo.
He was a weirdo, but she actually was back at his place.
Oh, my God. They're like, oh, Ed, you're so crazy.
You're so crazy, Ed.
Just stop. Cut it out. Thanks.
Anyway, Ed's second victim was a few years later, and her name was Bernice Warden. Now, Bernice owned a store in town. It was like a hardware slash general store kind of place. And Ed had been hanging around the store a lot lately and asked Bernice if she wanted to go roller skating with him. And, of course, she said no. She was kind of annoyed by Ed, but she, you know, she owns a business. He was a loyal customer, so she always treated him good and with respect and all that kind of stuff. And so it seems to me like he kind of had a little bit of a crush on her.
Yeah, because
she was older than him.
I would think of roller skating as going on a date, you know. Yeah,
exactly.
Kind of
thing. And, you know, she said no. On November 16th, 1957, most of the men in town were out hunting, but not Ed. He came into Bernice Warden's store to get a gallon of antifreeze. We know this because it was actually written in a receipt that they found on the scene that, you know, he had bought the antifreeze. He asked Bernice if he could look at a rifle that was for sale because he was thinking of buying a new one. Yeah. And he came up with some excuse about, like, he had a .22, but it only used, like, .22 shorts. And he wanted a new one that you could shoot shorts or longs. And that's just the kind of shell, but it's .22 caliber. So she handed him the rifle, and he was inspecting it, and she had her back turned to him. And when she did, he pulled a .22 shell out of his pocket and shot her in the back of the head.
Ooh.
And then he took her to his house in the store's pickup truck. So he took her to the house in her pickup truck. And in fact, somebody actually saw a man driving the pickup truck, but didn't think nothing of it because they would actually let customers use the truck if they had bought a bunch of stuff that they had to haul.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So didn't really think nothing of it. So he took her to his place, and then he came back and got his car.
Yeah, so that would look like he was just, yeah, like you said, going, coming back. If somebody saw him going both ways.
Yeah, in fact, this is just something that just came into my head that I thought about. One of his neighbors, after this had happened, was going to ask Ed for a ride into town to buy a new battery, I think, for his car or something like that. And he noticed Ed was changing his tires, taking off the snow tires and putting on regular tires, which made no sense because it was wintertime. But they just kind of, anything Ed did that was weird, they just blew off, thinking that's just Ed being Ed. But obviously to me, he's trying to change the tracks of his tires because the ones on the scene are snow tires. You know, I mean, he wasn't totally stupid.
He was
stupid.
Smarter than they thought.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. He wasn't as dumb as they thought. Crazy, yes. Dumb, no.
Yeah, just because you're quiet doesn't mean, you know.
It's always the quiet ones, Tina.
Yeah, for real. Later that day, Bernice's son Frank returned and found the store locked, which was strange because his mom was supposed to be running the store that day. And I should mention here also that Frank was a deputy sheriff. Sheriff deputy. I don't know if it was at that time he was active, but he had been one. So it could have been at that time, but I know he did at one time in his life he was a sheriff's deputy. So he knows a little bit of something about the law. When he got into the store, he knew right away something was wrong. The cash register was missing, and there were signs of foul play. So, I mean, I guess, like you said, smarter than he thought. He's trying to make it look like a robbery, I suppose.
So he didn't take the receipt?
No, left the receipt of him buying antifreeze.
Was it one of those ones, like the receipt book? You know,
I
like
imagine, book, the old style.
I was just thinking about
handwritten receipt, you know. It might even been in the book and maybe didn't get tore. Well, there'd be a copy in the book.
Oh,
you
okay.
You had that transfer
paper,
you know.
That. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's how they kept their records.
So he probably took the
He might have took the copy with him.
Trying to make it look like a robbery or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it wouldn't matter if his name was in the receipt book if he was trying to make it look like a robbery, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. And it might have been his receipt, too, was actually on the ground where they'd found some evidence of, like, foul play. I think there was some blood splatter on the wall and stuff, you know, from the bullet, from the shot.
Yeah.
But it didn't come out, I know that, because later on when they were doing the autopsy of her body, the bullet was still in her head. So.
Oh.
But we'll get there. We'll get there. Hold your horses. Frank called the police, and when they got there, they were trying to figure out what might have happened, and right away Frank thought of Ed, because the night before she was killed, Ed stopped by the store, said he'd be back the next day for antifreeze, and he took the time to ask Frank if he'd be gone hunting the next day.
There's another sign, Christine.
Like I said,
it's always quiet ones. Yes. Yeah,
so there's your sign.
I think I don't know again. If it was. I think it might have been early in the hunting season or the start of hunting season. I'm not sure, but they kind of made a point talking about how everybody was out hunting that day. In fact, they even thought maybe she closed up the store herself to go hunting. So,
if only she had.
Yeah. Like I said, there was a friend that asked Ed to take him for a ride to get a battery, and he was changing his tires and all that stuff. Now, I'm not 100% on this, but I'm pretty sure some accounts talk about this, some don't. He actually gave that guy a ride and actually went home with that family to eat dinner, and the police came and got him there, I think. Doesn't really matter exactly where they picked him up, but when they picked him up, the first words out of his mouth were, "I was framed." I don't even think they asked him.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That is like so...
He's extremely smart, and that makes him extremely stupid.
Well, yeah.
Bad guy.
I don't think he was extremely smart.
Don't say.
Yeah, I don't even think they asked him. I think that's just like it was the first words. Like, I was framed.
That is hilarious. That's like could be on one of those cop shows for like dumbest criminals ever.
No. Yeah, for real. So this is where I'm going to give everybody a chance to think long and hard if they want to listen to the rest of this, because there's going to be a little bit of a trigger warning.
Trigger warning.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about some gross stuff from here on out. There's a lot of disturbing things. So if you don't think you can handle it.
It's about to go down.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
Now, for me, that's the moment when I sit up in the podcast and I get excited. And probably most of you guys. So, all right. When the police searched Ed's property, they found Bernice's body in a shed. Now, I read multiple times both instances where they said it was in a shed. And one guy that was actually one of the people there said it was hanging in the kitchen. But it was in the shed, I'm sure. There's a lot of pictures out there that claim to be Ed Gein photos. They're not real. If they're a color, for one, they're not real. And I'll get into more detail of why I know they're not real after I get a little further into here. But there is one that is real, and it is of Bernice's body hanging in. What to me is, I can tell by looking at it, it's a shed. So it's not in the kitchen, I don't believe. But some accounts say in the kitchen.
I think they're thinking by the kitchen because a lot of the wood sheds were attached off the kitchen in those old homes.
That's a good idea. That could be, because the pictures don't really tell you exactly where it is. So, and that's why you're here.
And that's Gunny saying hi in the background.
And that's the dog in the background. Anyway, so when the police searched property, they found Bernice's body in a shed hanging upside down. She had a rod between her legs, like connecting her ankles between the, like ankle bar, you know, tied up. And she had her ropes tied to her wrists that were tied to the bar. So arms like straight down towards the feet, kind of spread out, legs spread out, hanging upside down.
Ooh.
And she was dressed like a deer, which that means she was gutted like a deer, split right down the center.
So she was hanging upside down.
Yes, and she was decapitated. Now when they search the house, this is when the horrors really come to light. I'm going to talk about this in more detail, but first I'm just going to give you a list of what was found in the house. So I'm just going to read the list.
I'm so nervous right now. I don't know why, when you said, I'm going to read the list, like my heart jumped.
Yeah, I'm going to read the list, and then they'll be talking about more of the stuff on the list as I go through here. So some of the objects they found were whole human bones and fragments. Bowls made from human skulls.
That makes him a real serial killer.
Oh, you were waiting for that. Waiting for that.
It was the right time.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll be here all night.
And that's why I only do one. And that's, what does he say? And that's why I only do two shows.
That's why I only do two shows a night. Won't do any more.
Anyway, 10 female heads with the tops sawed off.
Ooh, wait.
Like this, that's probably where they got the bowls from.
Like they're just like sitting there like.
I don't know exactly how the. Yeah, but there was 10.
Is it just the bones? Or is
I don't
it
know.
I just want to say that your face.
Yeah, I wish we had your face.
I wish it was well, where you could see your face.
Just wait.
My eyes are wide.
Your eyes are wide open just going, wait. It's like her face.
Just wait. There was 4 noses.
Ew.
What?
Yeah.
That makes me sick.
9 masks of human skin.
Oh my god.
Ew.
So Leatherface, anybody?
Really?
Remember I said he was an influence for Leatherface, you know, from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There was human skin covering several chair seats.
Like the chair covers like you put on the
back? No. You've seen the old wooden chairs that have like a wicker bottom. Like your ass is sitting on nothing. It's like a wicker bottom. Yeah. That was removed. Tanned skin.
He tanned the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like an animal. So the tanned skin was sitting over the seat, and it even had the studs in it, like when you see like an upholstered chair, those little metal that hold it in.
Yeah, too. They're
like a tack. They're like a tack, kind of like a thumbtack, but they're made
too much.
Yeah.
What?
So that was the bottom of the seat.
Can you sit on that?
I guess so.
I mean, that's the.
Well, I mean, tanned skin, like leather. It's like leather.
I mean, like cowhide. Yeah.
It's like leather.
Probably.
That is gross.
Gotta be as strong as wicker.
Where'd you get these chairs at? They're handmade.
Yeah. Mary Hogan's head in a paper bag. That was the first woman that he killed, the bar owner.
Wait, and there was no... There was no electricity, so it wasn't in a fridge.
No, I think he cured a lot of stuff with salt. A lot of stuff had like salt sprinkled on it.
You like know? You do like hams?
Yeah. Tana, you're
this
so
is too much.
You're so country. She's so country. She's like, you mean like my country ham? Yeah, salt cured ham. God, I thought this would be more disturbing. We're laughing way more than I thought we would on this.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We're laughing at Tina.
This is about to stop because they also found Bernice Warden's head in a burlap sack. That's the woman he just killed.
Ooh, that's creepy.
And here you go, ladies.
That's fresh.
9 vulvas in a shoebox. Now, for those of you that may not know what a vulva is, just look it up in the dictionary, and then you'll understand the reaction. I'm not going.
Then you can go in the bathroom and puke.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you detail, but most of you should know.
In a
the ladies should all know what a vulva is.
What were they in?
In a shoebox.
Kind of blacked out for a second. In a shoebox.
In a shoebox. 9 vulvas.
Why?
Why not? I don't know. There was skulls on his bedposts, organs in his refrigerator.
This is a horror house.
Now, which I picture like an icebox probably. Which in the old days was like, looked like a fridge, but like the top, you put like a big block of ice and that would keep everything in the bottom cold because he didn't have power. So this one's just totally crazy.
It can't
crazy.
Get any worse than a vulva.
No, well,
it right. can. Just picture it. I bet you he did this at night by coal oil light.
Well, yeah. Damn. He robbed the graves at night. But anyway,
there
listen.
You go. There you go.
Yeah. But all right. There was a pair of lips.
What?
Just wait. Like lips, like off your mouth, like the, okay. That were on the end of a drawstring for a window shade.
That is so...
So instead of having a little handle at the end, it was a pair of lips that he would pull the drawstring for the shade. Like for your blinds. Like for your blinds.
Kiss, I can't
like,
even.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
He's got like a little kiss every time he writes. That is so gross. What would Tina you do?
Tina can't handle this. Tina's I wish I could see this.
That's gross. I picture him like... I don't know why, but my mind...
You picture him like those like wax lips? Yes, I picture him like the wax lips yes. like you buy.
And I picture like every time he would grab it, it'd be like... I don't know why. It's like really freaking me out. Like I'm getting like.
I doubt he kissed him. Of course, maybe he did.
Well, what?
There was a belt made from female nipples.
I'm sorry.
This is why I wouldn't let Tina know the list before I did this. I wanted her reactions.
Nipples?
Oh, so.
This is the first time Tina's hearing
Wait,
this.
Wait, like a belt? Like.
Yeah, there was
did
a
he
belt.
Wear it?
I don't know. But there was a belt and it had nipples.
Somebody would
on
have
it.
Had to notice. Like.
No, I'm sure he didn't wear it in town.
They didn't notice a lot of things, so I don't know. Yeah. Would they, though?
Yeah.
You mean and nipple belts babysitting all the kids?
It's just Eddie being Eddie.
Yeah, for real. And a lampshade made from the skin of a human face.
Ew.
Yeah. I don't know if you can see the face. There's a lot of pictures on the internet.
Every time you go to turn off the light, you're like looking at somebody's
face.
But the eye holes,
we don't know
they
how
light
it was.
Up.
We don't know how it was. We're just imagining. There's pictures on the internet of people, that have, but it's not real. They didn't have pictures of these.
Yeah, but when you turn the light on.
And I'll tell you why they didn't have pictures.
It literally, eyes and mouth light up, and it's all like,
yeah.
Oh my God, Dana. Christine, yeah. It's going to look like a nightmare tonight.
I know, for real. No.
Like lips and nipples.
These
and
items, all the items they found were photographed and then properly destroyed, so there's nothing out there for.
So they didn't keep them for evidence.
No,
they had it. I think for the trial, probably.
I don't even know if they had that long. To be honest with you,
I don't believe they had a trial.
I think that no, but they just well, we'll get to the trial. Yeah. There was some sort of a trial.
So there is pictures
and,
out there.
Well, I don't know. They took pictures and destroyed it.
Them.
I don't honestly think they
but
even had them
pictures. I guess
for the trial, like they just used the photos probably in the trial. And there's pictures. There's a lot of pictures on there. Like you type in like Ed Gein skull. Bowl and it shows like the like that's not what he just used like the top of the skull as a bowl so it was like bowl shaped. You'll see pictures on the internet and it's like a skull with the mouth and the eyes and like
well, that's how I picture it.
That's not how it was. People a lot of people out there have made their own photos to look
to yeah. me.
There's no picture of the belt with nipples, but they you see them on the internet. The only picture that's really out there, there's a few of the house. There's a lot of pictures of Ed Gein.
Okay.
And there's the picture Warren. Of the Bernice Warden hanging upside down. That's really it. And there's a picture that I think is real of the head in the bag. There's
how
a picture
you
of that.
Eat cereal or anything. Oatmeal.
Of Mary Hogan's head.
Out of a skull. That makes me, it's like.
Well, how could you, I mean, there was organs in the refrigerator. Now he said, and I'll talk about this later, but he said he did not cannibal. He wasn't a cannibal, but he did have all that stuff.
Well, he did. Yeah. I mean. He had it with him, like, all the time. You had to look around the room and be like.
Yeah. When Ed was confronted by the police, he said that between 1947 and 1952, that he visited 3 local graveyards as many as 40 times. He said he was in a daze-like state when he was doing this, And he said around 30 of those times he would come out of the daze and leave the grave in good order and return home empty-handed. So he was like making it like he kind of come to his senses and quit doing it.
I had heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I had heard that he also volunteered to help at the cemetery when people were being buried.
So oh, I don't know if that's true or not. Well,
but there, I had heard that
there's
at one point.
Also,
it could be real because I always said, you know, he was
yeah, so cool. And there's also some accounts. All right, you know, they, a lot of people thought, how could one man even do this? Okay, you know, dig a grave. Now he waited. They were fresh graves. So the dirt was fresh when he would do it, and when he'd fill it back in, and then you know, nobody would know the difference because it was a you know fresh dug grave. But there is some accounts. I don't hear enough about this to just necessarily say that I think this is true, but I'm going to bring it up. One account I read said that Ed actually said he had a friend that helped him named Gus. Yeah, exactly. Mom's making a face because she never heard that, and she's like me, and she loves all this kind of stuff and knows all this, you know. Like, I catch her nodding her head when I'm saying something because she was thinking it. So that's why I'm nervous on this one because I got Mom watching. But anyway, so.
I'm not a critic.
But anyway, Gus, this is one. I've, a couple of different places I read, they talked about this Gus guy that was somebody that helped him dig up the bodies. And then when Gus was, like, too old or died or went to a nursing home or something like that, that's when Ed started to kill. But that doesn't make sense because, well. The murders, no, there was a few years between the murders, so it doesn't really make sense. But, and they were saying that he had help, but I don't know. You might want to look more into that if you want. I just thought I'd bring it up because I read that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But
and I almost think.
One guy do? I mean.
Well, it's a lot of work.
Well, they did say that Ed was a lot stronger than he looked, too. So
yeah, he was a country farm boy. Yeah,
I think he could have done it by himself.
I don't think he had help, but they did mention it a couple times, so I'll mention it here.
Yeah.
That there was a possibility, but. If there was somebody named Gus, why didn't they
and
go for that?
If
more?
You knew Gus, give us an email.
Shoot us an email.
Let us know.
Miles After Midnight.
You have to remember, though, Plainfield was a very small town. If there was somebody named Gus in the area
helping,
they would have known somebody would said, we know Gus.
Yeah. And I think there would be more, too. But I thought I'd bring it up because it was spoke of, and anybody fact-checking me and they go there, they might see that. So I thought I'd say it. Like I said, there was like 30 some times or so where he left the graves untouched when he came out of his days. But there was also other times he would dig up the graves of recently buried women that resembled his mother. I guess he'd look in the obituaries. And he would take the bodies home and use them for his sick creations. So, and the police had a hard time believing Ed was capable of doing this, like I said. So he actually led them to the graves and they dug up a couple of them. And they found that they were empty, which was corroborated his story. Now, I wonder what the families, I mean, I would think that a lot of families had to go, God, I wonder if he dug up my mom. I mean, you know,
Yeah. They
didn't dig up all the graves. They didn't look at all of them. So there's some empty graves.
They never gave any other names of any other victims.
No, but the police had to have known.
Yes.
Because I'm sure Ed told. And you would think families, I guess people just didn't want to know. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you think? If my mother around, if I had a family member, older woman that died of that in that time, and then it was buried in one of those cemeteries, I would wonder, did Ed dig up my mom, and was she one of these pieces? Because I mean, I don't know if he took parts out and left bodies in. I mean, if he took, sometimes he took whole bodies home. So,
yeah there's no telling.
Yeah, it's just disturbing.
Now he never. Did they ever say that he dug up his mom, or he didn't do that?
Okay, I'm glad you said that. There's a couple of times in I've seen where. They said that was the first grave he went to. I don't think he desecrated his mom's grave. I think there's a chance he might have dug it up and looked at her when she first died. But he did not take her home and do all that. And I'm not 100% sure that even happened. But I saw that. One of my sources for this was I read the book Deviant, The Shocking True Story of the Original Psycho by Harold Schechter. And I also went to a few web pages and stuff, and we'll put them in our resources. And a couple places they did talk, like that was the first grave he visited. I'm not 100% sure on that, but he didn't desecrate his mom's grave and there wasn't pieces of his mom there or anything like that. But okay. It is rumored that was the first one he visited.
They want to try and say that because of Psycho, because he
I
had.
I think so, yeah.
They embellished on that.
I wonder.
With his mom being up in that room.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking in my mind.
Well,
too,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
After Ed's mother died, some people say, and this is another thing, how do they know Ed didn't say this? So this is just people kind of speaking for him. But after Ed's mother died, some people say he wanted a sex change or was a transvestite. And like I said, I don't know what the story is or what the case was for that. But he did begin to create a woman's suit, which was which he reportedly would wear and dance around his farm under the moonlight.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Was she a big fat girl?
It puts a lotion in the basket. So yeah, he had a suit. I think it was mostly like an apron type of a thing, but yeah, so he had a skin suit that he would wear around the house like a woman, and it's reported that he'd wear it outside in the farm and dance around in the moonlight. I don't know how true that is, but
I don't know if that's true because I had never heard that either.
Yeah, but I saw that in a few places when I was doing this.
Yeah, I think the suit thing was for him trying to bring his mom back.
Yeah, I think so. Or, you know, feel like his mom. And I don't know necessarily if he was wanting a sex change. Who knows for sure? He had the most messed up view towards women and sex and all that.
Did they describe like?
Well, there was also reports that he would like cover up his genitals with the women's genitals that he removed, and like he was wearing like so like he'd cover his up so it was like he had.
So what I'm saying
is, what he had the vulvas for?
Yes, now listen. Yes.
What I'm saying is though, if people said like, why didn't they say something? Why were they just letting Ed walk around in a skin suit?
They didn't see it.
It was in the moonlight.
If somebody saw him walking around in a skin suit.
Dancing in the moonlight. What did they describe if it was like somebody's just like he made it?
There's not a whole lot of detail. It was made from human skin.
Like, did it look like a
It had breasts
woman
and all that stuff.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
While you were, what is the word I want?
Researching?
Yes, researching this. Were there ever any recordings, not necessarily voice recordings, but written recordings of Ed's
testimony
or confession?
I didn't really see much. No, nothing that really was any kind
of never heard of anything that he actually had said himself.
I think I got a couple quotes in here from him. No, there's no tapes or like any kind of transcripts I could find.
Transcripts.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some out there.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sure there's some out there.
That fact check was brought to you by Lori.
Yeah. Ed said he never performed cannibalism or ever had sex with the bodies. He said, quote, they smelled too bad.
I bet they did. He didn't have any electricity or nothing. Yeah. I bet
a lot of people think he was a virgin.
Well, I'm glad that's what kept him from doing it.
Yeah.
They smelled too bad.
Okay.
It wasn't because, no, they were dead. I bet they smelled too bad. Well, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Remember I talked about he was babysitting?
Yeah.
One of the kids that Ed would babysit spoke of seeing what Ed would call shrunken heads hanging outside of his bedroom door or inside his bedroom. I've heard where it was outside the door and inside the bedroom. And Ed said they were sent to him by his cousin who served in the Philippines in World War II. They were like war trophies.
Okay, so wait a minute. He didn't go to their house and babysit.
Yes, no, they came. Sometimes they came to his house and they play cards with him and stuff. And he had some kids he'd go to movies with.
Notice the lips hanging from.
He kept the house shut off for the most part, but some of these, like the kids, some of them did get to go in. Yeah. But there wasn't like.
Hey, well, you.
I would think that he would have his living room or one of the rooms that his mom was saying that if he was going to bring the kids in there.
I don't know. I don't think so because the house was a wreck. Hey. At one time, he talked about wanting to get rid of the farm, and he had this couple come over from town and like, I'll trade you even up my farm for your house, and they were interested because hey, it's a farm, you know. And they actually came and saw the house, and they actually came inside. And they saw that it was just, I mean, if you see pictures of it, there is garbage everywhere. And they didn't notice.
I think your first impression would be, oh, this place is a dump. And you wouldn't really
pay attention,
focus
yeah,
on
but
what
the kids
was there.
Saw the shrunken heads for sure. And it was reported that he like told people. And a lot of people actually, there was talk around town, like, you know, with his shrunken heads and all that stuff. So people knew about it. But they just thought they were like really Philippine war trophies from the Philippines of World War II.
So he's like,
did he really have a cousin?
No, I don't think so. I think it was just a story. Like, everybody's got a cousin, I guess. I don't know.
Tommy, could you do me a favor and go over there and pull that shade down? Don't mind the lips.
Don't mind the lips, yeah.
Those are just those wax lips you can buy at the store.
They were actually the skin that was peeled from the heads that were used as masks. So they weren't like the shrunken heads like you see like in the movies, like real tiny. They were just skin off heads, but he said they were shrunken heads. Remember I mentioned the vulvas? They were in a shoebox.
Oh, yeah.
They were in a shoebox that was found under Ed's bed.
How can we forget?
So he kept them close under his bed. Another thing, Bernice Warden's head had hooks in her ear holes and like string tied to it, like a handle. Like to hold, like to hang her head up or carry it.
I was going to say, was he making like a puppet or something? Like,
no, I think he had the heads were hung
like
up.
Like a lantern?
It was a trick or treat basket.
Yeah.
Oh, gross. Wow. That's a wow. That's good.
You're not welcome here anymore.
It's not like good, but that's a good.
Yeah. No, so the heads, one report was that it was nails in the ears and that string, and one, it was like more like a hook in each ear. Either way, it
maybe
had,
he was going to make a lantern out of
it. I think he hung the heads is what it was. I think the other heads were the same way. They were hanging around. At first, Ed wouldn't even speak to the police, and the sheriff actually allegedly banged. He got frustrated and banged Ed's head and face into a brick wall until he confessed, and that was actually reported a couple times. But that confession, but it ruled his confession inadmissible because it was forced. You know,
doesn't he have like scratches on his face?
I don't
or
remember
something
in the pictures
picture?
Or not, but
if any of you have ever looked up any of Ed Gein's pictures, they are just creepy.
Yeah, for real.
He was just a creepy looking dude. His eyes. Just look up his pictures.
More with Tina, Steve, and Christine on Malice After Midnight coming up.
This week's episode is sponsored by J&W Soaps. From building the recipe for each batch to constructing the design for each bar, their handmade soaps are sure to please. Check them out at jnwsoaps.com and use the code MALICE15 to get 15% off your online order of two or more items.
And now more of Malice After Midnight with your hosts, Tina, Steve, and Christine.
So we just had our commercial from one of our sponsors, and I wanted to add that she sent us a question on our Instagram, and she said, how did you decide to list your names in the order of Tina, Steve, and Christine during the intro? And I think it was just because it sounded good that way.
No reason when it was recorded. Well, I think we said it sounded, I think when me and Tina decided to do it. If people don't know, it's actually my uncle, Brad Wiley, that does the music and the voiceover for the show. And when we were doing it with him, we just thought Tina, Steve, and Christine sounded best, just the way it flowed. So that's strictly what it is.
Right.
Because if we're going by order of importance, it's Steve, Tina, and Christine.
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't think so. But they definitely saved the best for last.
Yeah.
Boom.
All right. So this is bringing us, we're getting close to the end of this podcast. On November 21st, 1957, Ed Gein was arraigned on one count of first-degree murder, and he entered a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity. No shit.
Just one?
Yeah, they got, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
sorry.
The murder is probably I'm guessing was probably the easiest.
Just the one for the clerk, to get probably.
Him. Yeah. And
I mean, what's her name?
I mean, Bernice? They could have piled on a bunch of, like, grave robbery and desecration and all that other stuff, but doesn't really matter because he was found mentally incompetent and unfit to stand trial.
I bet he was.
Yeah, he was sent to Central State Hospital for the Criminally Insane, which was a maximum security facility in Waupun, Wisconsin. He was later transferred to Mendota State Hospital in Madison. Mom was waiting for that. I was watching her. He was later transferred to Mendota State Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. On March 20th, 1958, while Ed was in the hospital, his house burned to the ground.
Suspiciously,
yes. And his car was actually sold, though, at an auction and used in a carnival sideshow.
Really?
Yes. And I believe when his house was burned down, he had just kind of commented, like, well, I guess it's for the best. But the town definitely has a weird, I believe, unwanted celebrity because of this. They did not really like anything to do with Ed Gein, for at least the stories I remember hearing.
Yeah. This is something I had heard when we still lived in Wisconsin years and years ago.
As a child, like this would be like in the 70s.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. There was rumored that, well, there was a company, it was Harvester Silos, and they were in the area of Plainfield putting some silos up, and the guys went into town one day to have lunch. And they had thought they were being funny and asked for Gein burgers, and they got run out of town. Now, this is a rumor. Don't know if it was true or not, but I had heard that, and it was. They were very disgusted with these people, and that town is very shamed with what had happened.
That's
they
what
try
I've heard.
To
yeah.
they try to forget.
You know,
it.
there's interviews with some people that knew Ed, and I mean I've seen them on specials. We had that one special we watched. And but for the most part, I don't believe the town. It was something they wanted. I believe the town knew it was getting burned down and burned to the ground.
Not many people want to talk about it at all.
Like even still today, they just
don't know. About
today,
them.
I think most I think, of them have just
yeah,
don't
I think,
really.
Well, I don't know. Well, today there's probably some celebrity towards it now. I mean, a lot of those,
could be, especially from the movies.
Yeah, and a lot of those people aren't around anymore from back then. Yeah. So I think now maybe there's more, but I don't think there's really much of a trace of
there's
him.
There's probably a museum now.
I don't believe well, so, I mean, but I don't think there's a trace.
I'm not saying I blame them still now, you know.
I think they wiped
horrific.
Most of the trace of finding anything off the map. Because didn't we go to Plainfield once when we were kids?
Yeah.
We drove through there, cruised around, just to drive around. We never found nothing. I mean, yeah. I bet we could probably try harder now with the internet. Back then, this was in the 80s, so we didn't have the internet on our phones to try to find addresses and stuff. We just drove around hoping to see something. And we didn't
there's
see nothing.
There's lots
I was
and lots of farms out there, so it would be very difficult to just
there, I don't even
out.
Think there's a foundation left at his place. So in 1968, Ed's doctor determined he was sane enough to stand trial. So on November 14th of 1968, the trial lasted 1 week, and he was found guilty of first-degree murder. Because he was found legally insane, he spent the rest of his life in a mental hospital. And on July 26th, 1984, Ed Gein died of respiratory and heart failure due to cancer. Yeah, he was said to be like just a model. I don't know if you want to say patient or prisoner. He was in a mental hospital, but
well, you know, being the way that he was raised,
you know, before when he was first arrested, he was real gaunt and like that just means like frail, like skinny and you know malnourished looking and kind of sunken in cheeks and stuff like that. And when he went to trial, he'd actually plumped up because he'd been eating so good, like three square meals a day.
Yeah,
you know, he actually kind of looked fat. I mean, not fat, but he'd gained weight.
You know. Based on his upbringing of being in a household that was so strict, and so he probably did good.
Yeah, I mean, he did like
you know
crafts
kind of,
and stuff like that. And he even got into.
I bet he did
get into crafts. Yeah, he did.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I'm sure he was.
I didn't even realize. I didn't even realize what
very creative
that setup was by Steve.
He was in charge of arts and crafts.
Yeah.
Yes,
and he but he did
he's like
he even got into ham radios. He even got into like ham radios and stuff like that. So I don't know if he actually was talking to people across the. The radio waves.
You want me to show you how to make a belt?
Number one, we need to go to the cemetery. Number two.
Oh, we need some more chairs in here? Hang on. Hang on a second.
Ed's gravesite.
Sorry.
Yeah. Ed's gravesite at Plainfield Cemetery was frequently vandalized by people chipping away pieces of his gravestone for souvenirs. And in 2000, the
Why
whole...
Why would you put that?
I don't know. In 2000, the whole headstone was stolen.
Oh, man.
But it was recovered in 2001 in Seattle, in the Seattle area. And it is now in a museum in Washara County, Wisconsin, which is where Plainfield is. So I don't know if it's not an Ed Gein museum, but and I don't even know if it's on display, but it's not, they probably can't have it out there because people would always be doing crazy stuff like
is
that.
Is it like in a room?
It's kind of like, you know.
Like those movies we just watched.
Jim Morrison's grave. You know, he was buried in France, I believe. The musician from The Doors, like everybody should know that. But anyway, his is constantly being vandalized. The people are always out there spray painting on it. And, you know, so, and I know like the people at that cemetery, it just drives them crazy because there's like this beautiful cemetery in France and like Jim Morrison's grave is just like all graffiti and all kinds of stuff. So that's probably why they wouldn't have it out there.
I had also heard, and I don't know if this is true either. This would have been before the house was burned down.
It would have been, the house was burned down only after like 2 years of his arrest.
Yeah,
not
but,
long.
But it would have been after his arrest, but before they burned it down, I had heard that they had had a sale of stuff from his house. I don't know if that's true.
I saw some things about that too. I don't know for sure. I almost think that might be a rumor because they were so wanting to burn. I didn't bring that up because I didn't know for sure.
Yeah. I just,
I know they sold his car.
Yeah.
His car was sold at an auction,
but I had seen,
I also heard that there was going to be a sale and before there was a sale is when they burned it down. That was another rumor I heard, but like I said, I don't say a whole lot of stuff unless I can feel very confident that it's a fact. So there's a lot of stuff I do leave out of my podcast that are hearsay, and that's one of the ones I think is kind of hearsay.
The reason why I'm asking is because on another television program type show that I watch frequently, they had some guy who supposedly had Ed Gein's knife. His deer knife or hunting knife or whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I
I don't think there's. I don't know. I don't think there's any way to prove it.
I mean,
it.
I had never heard that before.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to prove it. I mean, he could have.
It would make sense that.
Of course, he said deer.
I don't know who would want
Ed Gein wasn't a deer hunter, so.
No, yeah. It would make sense that they got wind Ed Gein of was the
said,
sale.
He was said not to like the sight of blood. So he didn't hunt big game. He only hunted squirrels and stuff like that. I know, it's totally.
An elderly woman.
Big game. An elderly woman, well, yeah.
Right there. But it would make sense that they got caught wind of the sale. You know, I'm like, hurry.
But I, like I said, burn it down. This is all you know just I mean? Like kind of, I don't know so, for sure if that's fact.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that that also makes sense too.
But I believe you can't even tell that there was ever a house on his property or anything anymore. But that is our episode on Ed Gein.
As disturbing as it was.
Go out and buy you a belt.
Yeah. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you
I really had a good
happy
time.
Birthday.
Thank you, Mom. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Bye.
Bye.